أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are going to start chapter 1 of the book Woman by Mahdi Mehrezi. And in this chapter, the author deals with the creation of woman and her characteristics. Creation of woman. The concept and view of the creation of woman in any religion or creed plays an important role in what that religion and creed thinks about the role and place of a woman. Any religion and any creed, in order to see what it says regarding the role of a woman and her rights and her status in society, that status and that role, what she plays and what she should play in that religion, depends on its concept of the creation of woman, meaning why woman was created, how was she created, what was she created for, what is her purpose. That initial conception, that initial creation, and whatever that religion thinks that initial creation was, is what makes their ideology in regards to a woman and her role in society and as an individual, as a part of a family, or as a part of a society. This will dictate what her role should be in a society. And it's very important in order to see what a religion says regarding a woman and what it says regarding the creation of the woman as to what the role of that woman is in the society. Islam's perspective of woman should also be studied from the point of view of Islam's concept of woman's creation. Meaning, when we want to analyze what Islam says is the role of woman in society and her rights and her status, that at first should be analyzed from the viewpoint of what does Islam say regarding the creation of woman, as to why was she created, what was she created for, her purpose, and that will dictate as to what is the role of woman in Islam. Islam's view. Woman is created as a human being with unique characteristics that distinguish her from a man. In other words, the first essence, the essence of her creation, is that she is a human being. A woman is a human being. She is insan. That is her essence. Now, when it comes to her gender, because of that, there are unique characteristics that distinguish her from a man. And hence, when we look at the man's creation, he also is a human being. But because of his gender, there are certain characteristics that he has that distinguish him as a man. But when it comes to the initial creation, when it comes to them being human, then they are the same and equal when it comes to them being a human being. Allah, He swears by this in the Quran, and He says, وَمَا خَلَكَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. I swear by the creating of the male and the female. In other words, that Allah is saying that He has created human beings first. He created insan first. And from insan, He divided insan into two species. One is the male, the other is the female. And hence, masculinity and femininity are not characteristics of human essence, but rather a means of prolongation of creation. Meaning that the male and the female, being a male and a female, is not part of them being human. Their humanity is different than the fact that they are male and female. The reason that they are male and female is only that they may procreate in this existence of ours. This distinction is a reality in this material existence, meaning in the existence that we are living in today. This is a reality that only exists here because of the prolongation of creation or for procreation. Explanation. Let's explain what we have just learned. First of all, we live in a realm of matter, meaning that this world that we are living in is a world of matter. This is a realm of matter. We are made up of matter. We need to procreate to exist. In order to exist, we need to procreate. Otherwise, if we don't procreate, we would end our existence with our own self. We cannot create, so Allah made a reproductive system in us. Meaning we are not creators. We can't just create things out of nothing like Allah does. Allah is Khaliq. He is a creator. He creates things from nothing. He created us. He goes on creating. And he has many creation that is his essence, that is his quality. We cannot do that. We don't have the ability to create. And hence Allah put a reproductive system in us in order that we procreate and extend our creation. For this and for this purpose only, we have been divided as male and female. Meaning every species in this world has been divided into male and female in order that they may procreate. This is the system that Allah has made us, and this is the system that we live by. And hence, because of the fact that we need to procreate, Allah has made us male and female. What does that mean? That means that our soul, which is our essence, is neither male nor female. Masculinity and femininity has nothing to do with our soul. The soul is neither male nor female. When the soul leaves the body, it is not classified as a male or a female. Our being male or female is a part of our material existence only. Let's start our research into the subject of the creation of woman in the view of Islam. What does Islam say in regarding to the creation of woman? And obviously we will use the book of Allah, which is the Quran, in order to see what does the Quran say regarding the creation of woman. And when we go into this, there are six questions that we want answered. Six questions that are important for us to know in regards to the creation of woman in order to understand her role in the society, her status, her rights, and many things that will come as derivatives of this concept of creation. These six questions are, number one, how was the creation of woman? Meaning that how was she created? How was the creation of woman? I mean, how was she created? How did it happen? That's the first question we will answer. Number two, how does the Quran introduce faculty of man and woman? Meaning their faculties that they have, the powers that they have that are innate to them and in their being. How does the book and how does Allah's book introduce those faculties of man and woman? Three, what is the aim of creation of man and woman? What is their aim? Why did Allah create man and woman? What is the aim of this creation? What is their goal? What is the purpose? Number four, how do woman and man rank in values, meaning the values that Allah has created, has made for human beings' perfection. In order for human beings to reach perfection, there are certain values and certain virtues that are existing, and man is supposed to gain those virtues and values in order to gain perfection. How do man and woman rank when it comes to these virtues and values? How do they enjoy those values? How do they acquire those values? And are they equal in the acquisition of those values or not? Number five, and I'm highlighting as we go along, how can happiness be obtained by man and woman? How can a man and a woman gain happiness? Is the way of happiness the same? Is the methods of how they reach happiness and salvation the same? Or is it different in both of them? That is number five. Number six, does a woman and man have enemies on the path to happiness? When we look at the path to happiness, the obstacles that come, do the men and women, do they have enemies? Is the enemy the same? Does the animosity that the enemy of happiness have, is it the same in regards to man and woman to the same degree or not? That is a question that needs to be answered, and there will be many things that we will derive from that. Well, six questions that we will ask in this chapter. Let us go forward now. The creation of man and woman in the Quran. When we see the Quran, we will see that in regards to how the Quran explained the creation, we see that it explained it in a very story-like fashion in how the actual creation came about. Let us read those ayat and verses about the creation of man and woman. First of all, we start with a story in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 30, where Allah, He tells the angels regarding the fact that He is going to place a representative, a khalifa, on earth. He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to place in the earth a representative. So here Allah, He spoke to the angels and He's speaking about the fact that He's going to place on the earth a khalifa, a representative. So you see that the plan that Allah had for man's creation was that man was going to be the representative, the Khalifa of Allah. In the same ayat, in a similar ayat, in Surah Al-Hijr, ayat number 28-29, where Allah, He speaks to the angels again, and He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَصْنُونٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And when your Lord said to the angels, surely I am going to create a mortal of the essence of black mud fashioned in shape. So when I have made him complete and breathed into him my spirit, fall down, making obeisance to him, making sajda to him. So here we see that Allah, He speaks to the angel and He's saying that He's going to create a bashar, a human being, an insan. And that mortal, that bashar, that human being is going to be of the essence of black mud fashioned in shape, meaning that Allah is going to shape it Himself. He's going to fashion it Himself. And then He says, so when I have made him complete, meaning when I have shaped him up and fashioned him, and breathed into him my spirit, meaning my soul. So the next thing Allah says that He's going to breathe into him the ruh, His ruh, the spirit. So when that spirit is blown into mankind, fall down making obeisance to him. Make sajda to mankind, meaning that not just that statue, but the position of mankind. So keep that in mind as we go along, and we will reach a conclusion at the end in regards to these ayat. وَلَقَدْ أَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ أَزْمًا. Here in this ayat, Allah is making a covenant with Adam. He's making a contract with Adam. And He speaks about this. And He says that, and certainly we gave a commandment, we made a contract with Adam from before, but he forgot, and we did not find in him any determination. So here Allah speaks about this covenant, this contract that He made with mankind. Now when Allah speaks about Adam here, He's not speaking about the person Adam as an individual, but He's speaking about what Adam represents, which is mankind, which is humanity. Then He speaks about it again, and He speaks more clearly about this contract in Surah Yasin, where we see, أَلَمْ أَحَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Did I not charge you? Did I not make a covenant with you, O children of Adam? Here again, the children of Adam, it is not just Adam's children that He's making it. Adam is included in that. Meaning whenever Allah says Bani Adam, it means Adam and his children, meaning all of mankind. Just like, for example, when we say Ali Muhammad or Ahle Bayt, then that means that Prophet and his family, not just the family of the Prophet, but the Prophet is included in the family. So here also, when we speak about Bani Adam, Adam and everyone else, meaning the whole of mankind. So Allah is saying, did I not make a covenant with you, O children of Adam, that you should not serve Shaitan? Surely he is your open enemy. So He is making that covenant clear, that we should not obey Shaitan. This is a covenant, this is a contract that Allah made with mankind. Then He put Adam and Eve to dwell in the garden. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. He says, and we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden. So both Adam and his wife were put in the garden, in this garden that they were put in. Then Shaitan comes and tempts them. Shaitan's temptation. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And we said, O Adam, dwell you and your wife in the garden, and eat from it a plenteous food. So you and your wife stay in the garden, and you can eat as much as you want from wherever you wish. And do not approach this tree. Then He gives a negative command, in the sense that He forbids them from going to this tree. For then you will be of the unjust. If you do that, you will be of the unjust. So He gives them that command not to go near this certain tree. This is premises of what Shaitan now will come and will tempt Adam in order to take him away from that command that Allah had given him. So we see in this ayat where Allah says, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. But the Shaitan made them fall from it. He made them fall down from that promise they made, and caused them to depart from that state in which they were in. And we said, get forth, some of you being the enemies of others. And there is for you in the earth an abode and a provision for a time. So Shaitan did manage to tempt them and make them disobey that command of Allah. Now obviously, this disobedience was not a sin. It was not a sin. as in the sense that it was haram for them to do that, and hence he did it out of disobedience to Allah. It wasn't regarding that. That is not the issue right now for us to discuss as to whether this was a sin or not, just because the arguments are there for the fact that this was not a sin. Rebellion, obviously, when we see that that Adam, when he ate of the tree, Allah speaks about that in this ayat, فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَاتَّفِقَ يَقْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَكِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Here, when he speaks about the fact that they ate of the tree, he speaks about both of them. فَأَكَلَ, both Adam and his wife ate of the tree. So their evil inclination became manifest to them, and they both began to cover themselves with leaves of the garden. And Adam disobeyed his Lord, so his life became evil to him, meaning that he hated himself for doing that. He hated himself for doing such a, even though it wasn't haram, but still he felt so bad that he did something that Allah did not want him to do. So here, when we look at this ayat, we see that both Adam and his wife ate of the tree, but Allah attributed the rebellion only to Adam. Rebellion only attributed to Adam. Meaning he's saying that Adam disobeyed him. Adam did that. He did not attribute it to Hawa, even though both of them had done it. Obviously, Adam, being a believer of Allah, being a lover of Allah, who loved Allah very much, recognized that he had displeased Allah, and hence right away apologized. But when we look at the apology that Allah is saying here, he did not speak about Adam's apology only. When we saw the previous ayat, we saw that it was Adam that Allah blamed. He said that Adam disobeyed Allah in the previous ayat. But in this ayat, when the apology came, Allah speaks about both of them, that both Adam and Hawa, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They said, meaning both Adam and Hawa, our Lord, we have been unjust to ourselves, and if thou forgive us not and have not mercy on us, we shall certainly be of the losers. In other words, both of them recognized their mistake. Both of them understood what they did was unjust to themselves, and both of them sought forgiveness. It wasn't just Adam who had this realization that he should apologize and he made a mistake. No, Hawa also had that realization and the same emotion that Adam had. And both of them were on the same level when it came to them recognizing themselves, recognizing their deed, and apologizing for the mistake that they had made. Allah sent some words to them to repent. Allah saw that they both understood it, and hence wanted them to repent in the correct way. So Allah, he gave them some word. فَتَلَكَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Then Adam received some words from his Lord, so he turned to him mercifully. Surely he is of returning to mercy, the merciful. So Allah, he gave them some words so that they can repent. Both of them repented. Both of them made the apology, and their repentance was accepted. Now, this was a story that Allah has mentioned regarding their creation, the creation of Adam. When we look at this story, then we will see that the Quran does not differentiate between the creation of man and woman. Meaning that when Allah speaks of creation, He speaks about insan, that insan is being created. that human beings are being created, and in human beings are both man and woman. So it's very important for us to recognize this fact that the creation was that of insan, not that of man, and woman was not a part of it, but both man and woman being human beings, and in essence being human beings. So what does that mean? It means it is incorrect to attribute all characteristics of strength to the man and the characteristics of weakness and deficiency to the woman. It will be incorrect for us to say that, well, man was not being led astray, it was woman that made him go astray, and hence any of these type of things will not be right and accurate according to Quran, because both man and woman were insan. It was insan that was going through trial, and both of them went through that trial, both of them made the mistake, both of them realized, both of them asked for apology, both of them sought repentance, and both of them were forgiven. Conclusion. When we look at these ayat, we see that man and woman are equal in the following 11 things. In 11 things, in the process of this creation and story that Quran has mentioned, both man and woman, being human beings, are similar and equal in the following 11 things. Number 1, khilafat. Both of them are the same in representation. When Allah says that I'm going to make a khalifa on the earth, He's not speaking about man only. He's speaking about human beings, which includes man and woman. Number 2, breathing of God's soul. Meaning when He says that I will breathe into him my ruh, my spirit. So when He speaks about that, He's not speaking about man. He's speaking about human beings, and hence as insan, both men and women are equal in the fact that the Spirit of God has been blown into their creation. Number 3, prostration and obeisance of angels, meaning the angels prostrating, they prostrated towards the maqam of insan, the rank of human beings, and hence in human beings, since both men and women are equal, and hence the obeisance, the sajda was for both of them, meaning their humanness, not their male, not them being male or female. Number 4, being taught the names. The teaching of the names was for insan, that Allah taught Adam the names, it was for insan that He taught them the names. And insan has knowledge of those names, or potentially has the knowledge of those names, and that is for both men and women being human beings. Number 5, tempted by shaitan. Both men and women are being tempted by shaitan. Shaitan is the enemy of both of them, and he came to both of them and wanted both of them to be led astray, and hence when shaitan's temptation came, it came for both of them, فَأَذَلَّهُمَا, and he misguided them, not just Adam or not just Hawa, but both of them, in the sense that he misguided human beings. Number 6, rebellion and disobedience. When they rebelled in creation, when they rebelled and disobeyed their Lord, it was equally, not that it was Hawa or the woman that disobeyed and made Adam disobey, or that Adam disobeyed and made Hawa disobey. No, it was both of them who were deceived, and they rebelled and disobeyed Allah. Number 7, the covenant and contract that Allah speaks about in the Quran that He had with Bani Adam is for all of mankind and all of insaniyat, not just man or woman. Number 8, free will. The free will for them to understand and to recognize and to come back and to apologize and to repent, that, you see, was that free will exists in both man and woman because it exists in human beings. Number 9, receiving the words, that words that Allah had taught them for repentance were given to mankind, which includes both man and woman. Number 10, repentance. when Adam repented, it wasn't just him who repented, but Hawa also repented. And hence, both of them repented, and hence repentance, and the essence of repentance that happened to both of them, and both of them reached that realization. Number 11, the material of creation. Both Adam and Hawa were made of the same material. They were made of the same matter, and hence their creation comes from the same essence. In these 11 things, we see that man and woman are equal when the Quran speaks about their creation. And hence we have reached this result, that when we looked at the story of Adam and Hawa, both of them, being human beings, are same and equal in these things that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, and there is no difference of such, because of the fact that both man and woman in essence are human beings, and them being man and woman have nothing to do with being different as far as being human is concerned. So inshallah, we will end this lesson here, and وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.